dreams. Who looks inside, awakens. You are listening to Oracle Unfiltered with your host and Oracle, Natalie Granja. Grab a journal and some tea, because we're about to dive deep. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode here at Oracle Unfiltered with your host and Oracle, Natalie Granja. On today's episode, I'm so excited to have a guest expert with us. Kehlani has been a client of mine who I've loved working with so much. Getting to guide her as my client, I've been able to see her heart, her mind, her magnetism, and I honestly feel so honored to get to collaborate with her and her business. I'm really lucky that my clients feel like friends and our sessions never feel like work. I wanted to bring Kehlani on because I genuinely love her interpretation of human design. The thing about modalities like human design, astrology, energy healing, etc., is that the consciousness of the person transmitting the modality really matters. I've received transmissions from some human design mentors that left me feeling so unseen or disempowered, especially as a projector. Not all mentors are made the same, and certainly not all mentors communicate their modality effectively. Every time Kehlani comes across my feed, I stop and I just have to take in her wisdom. She communicates human design in a way that made things click for me, and it's always grounded in something practical like a business tip. I'm really lucky that I get to work with people that are masterful at their craft that I get to learn from too. In this episode, we talk about the difference between quad right and quad left in business, emotional authorities, quitting a false self 9-to-5 identity, and Kehlani's journey following her sacral response in starting a human design business. We discuss some wisdom for 6 lines on their roof and living as a second line that can't always see themselves clearly, especially with that projection field. We touch on TikTok marketing and so much more. By the way, this episode was recorded about 7 months before posting it today. So as always, check out our pages and see the most relevant iteration of our work. Without further ado, Kehlani Young.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk all things business and design today.
Yes. So every time I listen to a podcast, I'm always like, they need to get this like out of the way, because all I can think about the whole entire podcast episode is, where are they located? What's their sun, moon, rising, their human design? Like, how do these people know each other? So let's start. Where are you located? We'll do your sun, moon, rising, and your human design.
Cool. So I live in Manhattan Beach, California. So I live right by the beach with my partner and my dog. I am a Pisces sun, Scorpio moon, and Capricorn rising. And then my human design is 6-2 quad right emotional generator.
Whoa, how did I totally, like, I knew you were a Pisces sun, but how did I forget that you were a Scorpio moon, first of all?
Trauma.
I know. Like, that's so intense. My best friend's a Scorpio sun, Scorpio moon, and I'm surrounded by lots of Scorpio moons. And I know that it's a deep, dark placement, but it's like there's so much gift there. And then Capricorn rising, of course. I mean, you are an entrepreneur, so this does make sense. First we'll talk about, how do we know each other? We know each other because you were in Oracle Business School. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. How did you find me before Oracle Business School? Because that was our first interaction.
So I followed Amy Lee, and she had posted about you and said, oh my gosh, Natalie is incredible. And I remember clicking over to your page. This was sometime last year in early 2022, I think. And I just started going through and I was like, oh, we're going to work together. And I think at that point, I kind of started riding my wave on working together in some capacity. And then when you launched OBS, it just spoke to me entirely. And so we had never actually talked before that point. We'd never really interacted. And my authority was like, boom, this is it.
Wow, that is such an amazing testament to people who are, and I'm like, I'm excited to see all the people that I've actually never interacted with come forward and come through. And I think that's super cool too. Like when I worked with Amy, I think I maybe she was shared through some students of Oracle Business School. They were like, oh yeah, follow her for projector stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I like seen one or two posts. She'd like come into my space, and within like, I don't know, maybe a week and a half of riding my wave, I was like, yeah, that's it. Like she had my same things, like my say the 5-1 projector. So I was like, that's it. And it's just such a interesting like concept. And I always want to like lean into that expansion of like, we do not need to know who is watching. We don't need to know where the clients are coming from, but the people are there. People are listening, people are watching, even if you've had no interaction. So love that. And then I do want to ask, what does quad left versus quad right mean before we even continue? Like, I want to hear in your words, because sometimes I do get a little confused. Like, one's strategic and one is like not strategic.
So variable looks at our cognitive architecture. It goes very deep. It's a very advanced aspect of design, but at the surface level, we're looking at how does your brain work? How does it take in information? You know, how are you designed to digest life, to food itself? And how is your body designed to orient itself in physical environments? And then we look at the mind, which is how are you designed to see the world? And how do you conceptualize and share about what you see? And so these variables are either going to be fixed to the left or the right. And so being quad right, fixed all the way to the right, this means I'm a very receptive, unstructured, fluid, peripheral person. And then the left is more strategic, structured, focused, target oriented. So if someone looks at their variable configuration and sees a lot of left fixed variables, this is a person who's designed to be more physically active. Their brain might be more active. They look at things in a focused way. They're designed to become an expert on what they focus on, and then they share about it in a strategic, target-oriented, you could say goal-oriented way. Whereas the receptive person, and me being all the way to the right, you're just a very surrendered person. You don't really know where you're going to end up. There's this requirement there of really letting go of control and really just being in the flow of life, because I'm not designed to have a 5-year plan, have an agenda, approach things in a target-oriented way. And so in business, it's been such a fascinating experience to really decondition that strategic pressure and understand that wherever I am is exactly where I'm meant to be. And people come to me to pull from my receptive awareness. I don't need to necessarily go after things and initiate and manifest and make something happen with an intention of I'm going to do this to get there. It's much more fluid.
Okay, that's so opposite of the way that I operate, which is so strategic. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do these classes and these podcasts and this and this and this all happening in this month, so that it's a little line. It's like a whole like thing that's like sequential. So that's really interesting for like the quad right people. And yeah, my human design mentor is also quad right, and you know, I've heard people like discuss it, and it seems like it's this really beautiful thing. And I'm just curious, like in business, is the, how do I put it? Like, is the strategy for being quad right like differ profile to profile? Or is it like, okay, if you're quad right, then the way you approach business sort of looks like how you were describing seeing what sort of comes available to you and then responding in that way. Is there something you do to prepare for that? Or like, I don't know, what's the, I guess, strategy, which might be the wrong question to ask.
Well, I think that a quadrant person can be very strategic, but just in a different way than we think of it. When we think of the strategy of like the strategic mind, it's this is a mind that's going to approach things in a more target-oriented way. They're going to be more attuned to an agenda, a to-do list, a plan. And the quad right and the quad left, it's a perfect pairing. And I find that in relationships, I'm always dating people who are mostly left. You know, I'm all right. So there's a really beautiful partnership there. And it makes so much sense that I was pulled to work with you, because the quad right person anything that they do in the world, any job they have, it really doesn't matter. Everything is just a vehicle for their own awareness to get out into the world. So I think a quiet person might think, well, I'm not attuned to business. I'm not attuned to be a business owner. Like, that's not there for me. I'm not strategic. That's really a limiting belief. It's not true at all, because it's a vehicle for your own creative awareness to get out into the world. If no one's pulling from you, you're not able to see your own magic and your own depth. So it's a beautiful, even if someone is single definition, all individual circuitry, really right angle, whatever that might look like, really living life for themselves on their own path, you're quad right. You're designed to have people pull from you. Every design has a need for communion with the other. There's this need for connection with other people. And we know that's a human need, is that connection. And so when it comes to business, it's really looked more like trusting that whatever I respond to is going to take me exactly where I need to go, rather than thinking of, okay, if I create this type of content, can I do this? Can I get there? Instead of thinking about it that way, when I really follow that own, that inner creative inspiration and respond to things, I'll find that, oh, I just send out all these emails and that was like an email campaign. And it was actually looked very strategic, but I didn't think that I was being very strategic. Or I'll talk about something and realize, oh, this is actually an offer. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to launch that. And it would look, if you didn't know, you might think, oh, wow, this is really smart. She led up to this offer and then did the pitch and then sent the emails. And I just kind of laugh and go, wow, great. So going into OBS, I was able to take in all of that business strategy and the marketing, and was like, ooh, I love absorbing this. And it's in there, but I don't necessarily know that that's what's coming out. I'm not really thinking about it as I'm going to take what I learned and apply it right now. It just comes out, if that makes sense.
Wow. Yes. Fascinating. So it's like this like database of like information and wisdom that sort of comes out without you having to strategically plan it. But when it's all laid out, it's like, oh, that was a great like plan. It was, oh my gosh, that's fascinating. So it behooves people with a quad right then to, or I'm assuming, to are should they always be in education? Should they always be learning something? Or is it just you're always picking up your environment? You don't have to like go out of your way to learn something.
Yeah, so for a quadrite person, they're always absorbing. They don't have a filter. So the strategic mind or the focused view, there's this ability to focus in and become an expert on something. The receptive person is more of this sponge that takes in everything. So it's really important that they're discerning about their environment, who they spend time with, who they work with. It's of the utmost importance, because you are going to absorb, you are going to take it in. And a quadrite person can have this library of Alexandria in their mind, right, from taking in all this incredible information, or they can be taking in junk,
Junk.
depending on who they're around. So everything in human design is this binary. You could have this incredible receptive depth, and you just people pull from you. You see this magic, but even if that magic is inside of you, if you're working with the wrong clients, if you're hanging out with people that aren't aligned for you, what are they going to pull from you? They're going to pull what they are able to access from what they're at. So the quadrite person doesn't really have a filter over what they take in, and they can't control what comes out of them. And for me as a generator, it's even more so, because I operate in response. I'm a second line. I'm called out. I'm quadrite. I'm pulled from as a resource. So who I am being in every moment is based on who I'm around in those moments. So it's been really, and if I had known this going into my design, a couple of years ago, I would have been like, what the hell? Like, I'm not my own person. I'm an open G center. I don't have my own identity. I am who I am based on the people I'm around. That just doesn't seem fair. And now I see the beauty in it, and I understand it. And I think that there's this incredible communion that happens when I'm connecting with the right people. Everything happens the way it's meant to. Everything that's meant to come out comes out, but I must be very discerning at the same time.
What are you offering the world? Like, what is, we went into this beautiful human design tangent, and let's introduce you to the audience in terms of like, what is your business all about?
Yeah. So as a generator, the primary gift that I share with the world is my life force, a life force that builds and creates and is focused on growth. And the interesting thing about being quadrite and trusting the flow of my business and where it leads me is that at the moment, my business is focused on working with generators and manifesting generators. And I have no idea if that will look different in a year or two, but at the moment, this iteration of my business and what's really coming through for me is helping people wake up to their inner power, to their creative power, because we live on a planet of generator satisfaction or frustration. And when I look around, that's all I take in. It's all I see is this frustration because generators are just unaware of their own power and that they can wake up and start living correctly in a moment. So I find that people come to me when they're really ready to connect to their spirit and start building a life that reflects their true self. So
Yes.
that's what this is all about. I have an open G center, so I'm really taking in people's identities. I'm quad right and here to be pulled from. And it's really related to helping people become their true selves. And in order to do that, they need to understand who they actually are and who they're not. And that's where the conditioning and deconditioning aspect of human design comes in, because I never really tell people brand new information in sessions. I might talk to them about their design and they go, well, of course, oh my gosh, I've always felt that way. I just tried to change that. Or maybe I felt like I shouldn't, or I was told to be more humble. And they have all this conditioning to work through to lean in to their true self that's expressed in this chart, all of this energy, and then disconnect and release everything that isn't them. So it's helping people really lean into their definition, who they're here to be, the impact they're here to have, and just let go and decondition all the bullshit that's keeping them stuck in old cycles and living a life that doesn't feel like it's their own.
Wow. And as you say that, like I think about some of my own sacral being clients or my husband who is a Mani Gen, and I can see like when the conditioning comes in, especially because what I've seen with sacral beings, and maybe this is just a coincidence, but what I've seen with sacral beings for sure is that they do things in ways that are so much more like creative and out of the box and non-sequential sometimes, especially I'm thinking Mani Gen. And where I see conditioning come in is like, oh, but it's supposed to be like this. And by this age, you're really supposed to be like that. And the 9 to 5 structure looks like this. And so I can see where it's like it tries to box in the bigness that is the sacral beings. So, or that are the sacral beings. And so I'm curious, when did you receive this calling? Like, what was your journey with discovering design? Like, where were you in your life when you discovered design? Like, I want to know that whole inception process.
Yeah, I've been on this path. I feel like since I was a kid, I always wanted to work with people in some way. I was always searching for that path. And I had worked in marketing for a long time, and I was coming to this place of, I know this isn't correct for me anymore. I don't know what I'm here to do in the world. I don't know what that looks like. But I'm waiting for something. And before I had found human design, I was starting to develop this awareness around my emotions, my emotional authority, and my response. Because I remember telling myself, I'm just going to wait for something to come and I'll know it when I feel it. Or I'm not going to make that decision yet because I want to make it too badly right now. That was my emotional, wave. And I was like, I think I want to quit this job too much right now. So I'm going to wait. I think I want this thing too much. So I'm going to wait to ask for it, or I'm going to wait to buy it. So I was starting to develop this awareness of myself. And then it was in right when the pandemic hit that my best friend was like, have you heard of human design? And she introduced it to me. And I was reading about being a generator. I was like, what the fuck is this? What are they talking about? This chart? But something about it started to click. And then I just dove in. And generators, we're here to know ourselves. We're the only types who are really focused on our own process. Our consciousness is completely focused on our own experience. So when a generator or a manifesting generator discovers design and they just dive in and become obsessed, that's a sign of you're responding and that's correctness, because we're really designed to learn about ourselves, because that's the key to discovering what's correct for us in life through our sacral response. So it just became this journey where I had just left my corporate job before knowing that the pandemic was about to hit. And I had all these other, potential offers on the table, all these companies I was talking to. They had been, trying to poach me for a couple of years. And all of that went away because I worked in event marketing. And it was the start of my Saturn return. Everything came. And so I just went through this really challenging journey of losing stability in the world. I had left the poverty of my childhood and got to this point where I was successful in my career. I could pay my bills, everything was taken care of, everything was covered, but it was all built on this false self that wasn't really me. And so it really took me on this journey of I'm going to lose everything on the surface, but I'm really becoming myself. And
Wow.
through and so human design, I was leaning on it as, can I actually believe in this? Is this true? Will life actually work out if I follow this sacral response and my emotions and my depth? And am I really just here to like have life force and build things? Like none of it really made sense, but it was a very challenging time that required me to test and experiment with the system to really see, is this actually true? Does this actually work? And then about 2 years in, I just, of course, I was telling everyone about it. I thought it was the greatest thing. I was starting to feel more myself, even amidst like the struggle of getting back into the corporate world and all these things. And I kept having people tell me, you should do this. You should be giving readings. And I had to go through that journey also of thinking, well, no way. I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have that. Maybe ask me in 10 years when I'm an expert. I really didn't believe in my own gifts there. And yeah, about the 3 year mark, 2.5 years is when I said, okay, I'm answering the call. And I started a TikTok and started talking about it. And everything really just snowballed from there.
Wow. Okay. So two things I want to ask about. The first one is, what would you say, and you touched on it, but what would you say was the biggest or is the biggest conditioning that you've had to bump up against in your process of your experiment?
Perfectionism for sure. Feeling a need to prove myself and questioning who I really am, questioning my talent, but all really rooted in this, I know how good I can be, I know how perfect I could be, and I'm never going to hit that goalpost. I'm never going to get there. So I wouldn't even allow myself to try. At the same time, I'm this person that's very like, I will take risks. I will go after things. I will try things. Like I have that hustle. And I always have. I'm always willing to bet on myself. But at the same time, when it came to something I really love to do, I had to face that insecurity of starting before I was perfect and then realizing I'm never going to feel like I'm perfect. I'm never going to feel like I have everything. And then also realizing, wait, I don't actually have to do this alone. So there's a lot of learnings, but it was rooted in this rigid need to be perfect and show up as the perfect person. And a lot of that is because of my six line mind. I'm a 6'2" profile. And so was always seeking that perfection in myself and I could never find it. And I was also very judgmental of others at that time as well. And then once I really healed that relationship with myself, that's when I started to see everyone else in the world in a different way. And, now see myself as this human that I love and is not perfect and everything's okay. And I see everyone else the same way too. I'm like, oh, you're doing amazing. Everyone's just this beautiful person who's trying to figure things out in their life and be happy. And so that was a big one. And with an undefined heart, it was all rooted in trying to prove myself to myself and to everyone around me.
Wow. I've no, okay. So I can so relate to what you're saying. The contrast of I'm going to bet on myself and I really believe, I can be very successful. But then there's that other like perfectionism that keeps you so frozen from actually going there. So yeah, that's a huge sabotage spiral that I've talked about a lot as well. And I see with, my own clients, obviously, we attract similar wounds, we attract similar gifts. Which brings me to, can you tell me a little bit more about that six line? Because I think I've mentioned to you, I think almost all of my clients at one point in this last year have either been a 6'2" or have had a six or a two in their profile. So what is that? What's the six?
Yeah, so the sixth line is the role model in human design. There are six lines, and you could see them, the visual aspect of like being in a house. The sixth line is at the top of that house. They're looking out over everything. They're the only line that doesn't really have a specific job to do. They are here to observe and share objective wisdom, but they have a three-stage life path. Where for the first 30 years up until Saturn return, they're operating as a third line. So I was living as a 3-2 for a very long time. And that brings this trial and error process of experiences. And in my experience, going through just horrible and painful situations, and nothing's working, everything's falling apart. I try something and then I fall on my face. That was my life path. And now I'm in that second stage where between about 30 and 50 years old, we go up onto the roof. We start to really develop into that sixth line, and our job to do in that healing stage is to integrate everything we experience, to learn from it, to heal from it, and to not fall into pessimism, but to really develop the objective wisdom about life itself, to prepare them for going into the third stage where you're really stepping into the full role model. After Chiron return at about 50 years old, coming down off the roof, going down into the world again, sharing your objective wisdom. And as a 6-2, really operating as a role model of what does it look like to be yourself? So the sixth line experience that I've noticed in myself and in others is we feel pressure to role model perfection when really we are here to role model the human experience and walking in your own individual truth, no matter what anyone else might think. And so that attraction, we have this pull to other people. And I think, the fifth line really sees into people. They're designed to offer these practical solutions based off of what they can see, what they can universalize to a broad audience. And I find that I'm very connected to fifth lines. And I think part of that is because they can see what the sixth line is doing up there on the roof. They're transpersonal as well. And then the second line is this natural who's gifted but can't really see their own talents. And they're designed to be called out. They're designed to be called out of their hermit cave, but there's this insecurity there. And it differs a little bit if you're a second line mind versus a second line body. There's all this differentiation, but as a second line body, I've noticed that it really took being called out to share my gifts with the world like many times over for me to really step into the light and be willing to share my message, which is really about becoming your true self and walking in your truth and doing what's correct for you and role modeling what it is to be human.
Oh, wow. Absolutely
I don't
love
know if
that.
I answered your question. I
Yes.
forgot what the question
Yes.
was.
Question for a three and a six, because I just feel like it's a unique one, because it's gonna look very different than sort of this traditional laid out, experience, which I think is very brave. And then that two,
Or the natural,
yes.
they are unable to really see themselves clearly. There's a unique talent there that needs to be developed, but it wasn't something that they had to learn or practice or get good at. And I find that as a second line body, there's things that I'm naturally very good at that I just like rock climbing. I remember like just flying up a wall when I was a kid, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, you're so good at this." And then I tried to go bowling. Absolutely terrible. Like, I'm either good at something or I'm not. I will never figure out bowling. I don't like it. It's just not for me. So, there's a physical talent there and a way of moving through the world as this natural. And it's a projection field as well. So the fifth line and the second line are both projected on. And so the projection there for the second line is related to that talent and people saying, you should do something with that. You're really good. You should do something with that. They're designed to receive these calls. And then when they get the correct one, that's the call for them, whatever that may be. So it could be a child being told, you'd be a really incredible athlete. You'd be really good at soccer. And then they follow that call and develop that talent and become this like absolute superstar. But for other people, it looks a little bit different. So the second line, I find that there's this innocence there because they can't really see their own talent because it's so natural to them. And it requires being called out to share that. And I found that even in OBS, that was a big thing for me is the way you were able to see me as a projector and as a fifth line as well, and really calling out what you saw. And for me to start really believing it and going, wow, okay, yeah, I can lean into this and not hide away in my hermit cave. So there's this need there to really to be seen in the right way, because we'll receive a lot of calls as second lines, but they're not all the right ones for us. And it usually comes through as a you should fill in the blank. It's always a should, whereas the fifth line projection is more about, ooh, what you could be for me. Ooh, I'm projecting the savior complex onto you. You know, I bet you could save the day. I bet you could fix all my problems. So the fifth line has to be very discerning as well, because that projection field is very seductive and it's always putting you on this pedestal.
Yes. Something I see a lot with my one-to-one clients is that they come to me and they say, oh, there's this expectation of me, or this is what people are projecting onto me. And how do I get comfortable with disappointing people? How do I get comfortable with claiming my space, claiming, well, these are what my offers look like. These are what my prices are. This is what my branding is, and sort of moving into like unapologetic self, but most importantly, honoring like, this is true. Because I think it's easy to go into like unapologetically myself, but coming from wound, which is like that young, like burning down everything. And that also is, that's all conditioning as well. That's all programmed. So yeah, I think there's like a fine line there. And I even see it in like polarizing content. I'm a big fan of polarizing content, like saying the things that people haven't thought of, or things that people don't want to see or say. And I've seen like the polarity of the polarizing content is to be sort of aggressive or bully-ish. Definitely, that's been a huge theme among like my clients, myself, to like learn how to navigate and see it. So, my other question for you is, you mentioned you started to market on TikTok, and I know that you're very successful on TikTok. So what was that journey like for you as well? Was there any, like, did you have any stories or conditioning about creating content on TikTok? Because now I know that there's still, if you're not a TikTok consumer, like I'm a huge TikTok consumer, I feel like there's this sort of, I don't know, just incorrect idea about what TikTok is and the type of content that's on there. And I'm just curious about what your journey has been, because I know you've done so well there.
Yeah, well, I initially heard about TikTok probably early 2020, maybe it was 2019, back when it was Vine or whatever it was. And it was like the dancing app, and it's just a bunch of teenagers, you know, dancing and putting. And so I think some people still have that perception, but it's incredible. I mean, it's the number one search platform in the world, so it's incredible for business. But starting to create content on TikTok was, and I've been told a number of times, it's an example of the second line call. I'd had a lot of friends tell me, you should create a TikTok. You should create social media. Talk about human design. Like, you know a lot about it. You should start sharing it. And it was really challenging at first because not only are you learning how to navigate a new platform, taking videos of yourself, editing them, figuring out how to say the right things, but being comfortable being on camera was a big journey for me because part of the second line body in my experience is not wanting to be seen, an insecurity around being seen, not wanting, you know, my face out there, wanting the light, but being really afraid of it at the same time, because what if I do take up that space and I'm rejected or I'm shamed or I'm projected on all of these things? So I had this fear of what if I get an audience? What if I don't? You know, all these different fears that can come into play. And so over the course of about 4 or 5, 6 months, I was really just third lining the content creation process, figuring out how to create content and what worked and what didn't, and also figuring out my comfort with being seen. Because my first videos, I'm like, my voice was so, you could barely hear me. And I watch it back now and I'm like, oh my gosh, what a journey I've been on, you know? These, I was just so dipping my toe in the water of visibility and everything that came with that. So it was really a process of not just creating content and starting a business, but also really stepping into my true self in this kind of anonymous place where I didn't feel that as many eyes were on me, like in my personal life, as much as you feel on Instagram. Because on Instagram, like there's a lot of ties there. There's people you knew in high school, there's all this stuff going on. And TikTok was this anonymous space where I could just talk about something I loved and then eventually started connecting with people and creating a community there and creating content in my own way. And so that is where all of my business really comes from. Like it lives on TikTok. It's become this incredible platform for me that I love so much. And sitting down and filming videos is easy. It's fun. I do it in response. And that is such a difference from where I was, you know, about a year and a half ago when I started.
Wow. Yeah. I loved watching your series on how to create different types of content based on your type. I thought that was so, or was it type slash profile?
I did a couple of videos. Yeah, profile lines and then type.
Oh, so I was like, save, save, save. Like,
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad.
so cool. I had never really seen it from that perspective. Especially because what was it? I think there was one that really was enlightening for me. I think it was trying to come off as like the relatable content of like, oh my gosh, like let's do, you know, and I'm like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like that it's more like what resonates with me or what's has been the best response is when I'm coming in and sharing my wisdom, sharing what I've learned, right? Like, and like that makes sense versus trying to sort of fit into all the different molds and trends that you can do, which can be really helpful to other people. But for me, it sort of just felt like I wasn't being recognized for some of the like relatable content, more so the like teaching, which is like what I know I do best at. So yeah, I had that like aha moment of like, oh, I just need to honor like my own energy when I'm
I love
creating
that.
content on TikTok. So yeah.
Yeah, because views is not recognition. Views
No.
does not translate to clients. Views does not. So it's really, I recommend it to anyone who might be listening who is running their own business or interested in starting one. I think TikTok is a fantastic platform to really discover your message, your true self, your ideal way of creating content. And you're going to be shown to new people every time. You're going to get comments that aren't very nice. You're going to get a lot of different types of people. And it forces you to be really mindful and discerning about what content are you posting? Who is that attracting to you? Because I started out, well, I should just talk about human design, and I'm going to make a video about each profile line and a video about each type. It was very just prescribed generic human design content, and all I got was people going, okay, but yeah, can you talk about this more? And can you do this for me? Do this for me? Do this for me? Do this for me? And I just wasn't really feeling aligned. And so eventually I got to this place of, well, what's really on my heart to share? What feels most alive in me? I'm a generator. I'm here to share my life force. So what feels alive in me right now? What am I seeing as a six line from my perspective and my awareness as a quadrite person? Like, I'm here to get that awareness out. And so it took time to realize how I could create content based on my design in my own way, in the way that was correct for me. And now I consistently pull in people who are just fantastic. I'm like, how'd you find me? You limited from all over the world. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And I'm just being myself and sharing what's on my heart. And and as a projector, it's a little bit different, right? Because as a generator, I work in response, I operate in response. And so that content where you sit down and talk about something you saw, that can really work for a generator. But a projector, you're designed to be recognized. A good example is when I found your Instagram, and there was that immediate recognition of your wisdom, of what you see, not what you can do necessarily, like the work you could do for me and my business, but like, oh, I want her insight. There's a tremendous value there for me as a generator and as a guide of energy. I'm an energy being. And a lot of energy beings are just throwing their energy in a million different directions with no coherence with what's really correct for them and no discernment around how they're using their energy. So projectors and generators have such an important relationship as well. And their content creation process is going to look pretty different.
Wow. Oh, that is so good. So for all the projectors listening, like listen to that distinction of instead of it being coming from that convincing energy of like, this is what I can do and this and this and this, it's like just showcase your expertise, like showcase what you're seeing. I love doing like client examples, client case studies. Sort of like showing like this is the before, this is the after, this is what had to happen, because that helps people see like, oh, I didn't see it from that perspective. I saw it from, you know, it's you're illuminating them throughout. Like that's what I find to be the best content for me. And so for any projector or anyone else who might resonate, I highly recommend. Like I do educational slash polarizing, and that's how I sort of blend it together. So I love that. Thank you for pointing that out. That's really truly helpful, because I do think it's easy to go back into that conditioning of like, this is what I can do for you, and to sell it from that place is just so, oh, it feels so limiting. Just this place.
Yeah. And that's where people tend to just kind of take advantage and pull or project a lot of things. And having worked with a lot of projectors and being guided by a lot of projectors, I will always describe my process of like, I see this value, I see this insight, I see this wisdom based on what they're presenting that creates an opportunity for me to invite them. So if a projector is showing up and in that energy are trying to respond like a generator or, be online all the time, be super, super visible, and here's what I can do for you and really selling to me, I'm going to go pull back a little bit. But, when they're just in their energy and the way you share and create content, I was like, oh, I love the way you just, it's no bullshit. You talk about what you see, you share your wisdom, you share, the 5-1, share your expertise, universalize these solutions that just pulls people in. And it pulled me in because a lot of generators can be resistant to thinking that their energy needs to be guided. But in my experience, I think it was Richard Rudd who said this at one point. He's a generator, and he said, at any moment in my life where I really like up leveled or something really transformational, incredible happened, a projector was always there.
Wow.
Always some relationship. It was something like that. And I found that to be the case for me as well. Any really big up level has required the presence of a projector to really see into me and how I'm using my energy and guide and tweak that. Because, I think we talked about this when we were in OBS. When I initially came in, my energy was like, ba-da-da-ba-ba, I love what I'm doing and this is happening and this is happening. But this feels unaligned, and I'm not sure about this, and I can't really see this aspect of myself. Like, what do you see? And the way you were able to just ask the right questions to refine the direction and the focus and the application of my energy has brought so much coherence and peace and focus and clarity to my life. And that's something that all generators and manigens really would benefit from experiencing. Because a lot of the energy is very distorted and all over the place. And so when a projector shows up, and we can see that mastery of whatever system they're working in, we can see the value that they can provide, because generators and manigens are like, what can you do for me? We're here to focus on our own process. So what do we have to respond to there? It's going to be something related to ourselves. Applying what you say to our own process, that can create that space for that recognition and those invitations to come in.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. So helpful. Oh my gosh. I could listen to you talk all day.
Likewise.
The way that you explain things, I'm just like, yes, that makes so much sense. Like, it just feels so tangible to me, which I think was my biggest resistance. Oh no, for sure it was my biggest resistance to human design. I mean, I've been introduced to this since 2018 or so, but I haven't really been in my experiment maybe since the last like year, year and a half. And even then, like last year, last 6 months, like it's sort of like has gotten progressively more and more and more integrated. But yeah, I mean, my biggest thing was every time I'd hear someone talk about it, I'd be like, I don't get this. Like, how does this make sense? And you describe it in such tangible ways. Every time I've seen your content, I'm like, that makes so much sense. And I think I wonder too, like, if having such short form content on TikTok has helped you refine even some of the bigger concepts into like, these are the tangible bite size. This is what you need to know in 3 minutes, in 2 minutes, or I don't know. You're just so good.
Absolutely. I appreciate that so much, because hearing that, and I've continued to hear that more and more from people. I was not hearing that in the beginning. When I was creating content from, well, here's what I should talk about. If I'm going to talk about human design in this very like, well, this is what other people are doing, I never heard anything unique from people or any, oh my gosh, the way you describe things. And now I get that all the time. And it's required this absolute trust in myself, this kind of free fall into, I'm living my path, my design, whatever comes out is what's meant to come out. And that draws the right people to me. And the process of, refining and having the container, I feel like for me as a quadrant person as well, I have all this awareness. I can go on these tangents and have this depth and awareness that wants to come out. But what is the container? How is it coming into form, into 3D in a space like TikTok? Absolutely, it's been that. It's been sitting down, okay, I'm going to talk about this thing. I'm like itching to get the words out, like it's coming, and then going on for 6 minutes. Okay, I kind of lost the plot there. What am I talking about again? And now it's come to this place of, oh, yes, I see this happening with a lot of generators. I'm going to talk about that. And it's like a 2 minute video. Boom, boom, boom. And there's a hook there, and there's all these things that are, marketing, strategic, all of that, but it just feels so natural and effortless. It doesn't feel like it's forced. And as someone with an undefined throat as well, I can't force my voice and my expression. I'm not here to be speaking and taking action all the time. It's really from my sacral, that energy moving me forward. And so being able to experiment and practice and refine has been such a great way to be really wise about how I'm using my energy and how I'm connecting to the right people based on the way I can articulate something. Because I used to have a lot of disclaimers or like, well, I'm not going to say it like that. I was trying to plan what I would say. And now I never script anything. I just let it come out and it just happens.
Oh, that is so inspiring, especially as an undefined throat as well. Because even this week, I noticed, and I was very proud of myself for catching this. Threads just rolled out, and so everyone's like fire shooting all these different like messages, and it's a very interesting app so far. And we're all experimenting with what it means for us in our own business. And I realized, I was like, oh, I hadn't been on in a couple of days. I go on, I see all these people and all these different messages, and I'm like, oh, now they're promoting, and now like people are doing business stuff, and oh. And I opened up the little pencil thing to start writing a post. And I sat there and I was like, oh, I'm speaking just to speak. I'm about to write something just because I'm like, oh, this is what everyone's doing. And I need to write. I need to talk. I need to, and I'm like, there's nothing for me to say right now. Like, there's nothing here. Okay. And I
Oh, I love
put
that.
it down. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I really just caught that. That's awesome. Like, because before, I think my conditioned self would have been like, just say something, put something out there, be relevant, get words out. And it's like, no, when that inspiration hits, or when there's something truly wise for me to share, I'll share it, and it's gonna be great. And the one or two times that I did, it was like a really long thread. People were having all these great conversations, and I was like, okay, this is what it looks like to sort of be mindful of that. I'm assuming it's the undefined throat. That's what I'm connecting it with, but maybe it's another center. But
That's a beautiful example of that wisdom. And the thing about the undefined centers in our chart is that it can be our biggest not self like enemy to contend with. It's really not an enemy though. It's something that I found we really need to treat with contemplation and gentleness and growing awareness, because the process of deconditioning isn't with an undefined throat, never trying to attract attention again or never, speaking out of turn again. It's more about developing the awareness of, oh, where is this coming from right now? Do I really feel this? Is this bringing me satisfaction? Is it bringing me success? Is this coming from my authority? Or is it just, oh, I should show up here too? And the wisdom of the undefined centers, for anyone who might be listening, once you really are aware of the not self expression of that in your life, and you've transcended that to the point where you can see it and go, oh, even if it's after you did it and you have the awareness of, oh, okay, yeah, I bought that on an emotional high, wasn't correct for me. That learning is what enables you to really develop the wisdom there. That can also be your profit potential in business. Your undefined centers are a huge profit potential in your business, because that's where you're taking in other people's energy. You're really sampling it from thousands and potentially millions of people throughout your life of that throat energy. What does it feel like when it's healthy and it's fully expressed? I'm sure you can tell as when, especially as a projector, when someone's really repressed in their expression, when they're holding back that, because I can really feel that as well. I get a lump in my throat when some people talk because I can feel there's a block there. And having that wisdom of, I don't need to show up here right now. I don't need to be taking action. I don't need to be saying anything. I've had no response to sharing anything on Threads. I'll probably just watch for a little while and then see what happens. And I know that's correct for me. And but the wisdom, I love that in the undefined centers, because there's so much there to really dig into. Our definition is what we're here to be. It's what we're here to express. It's what we have consistent access to. But I mean, don't overlook the potential of your undefined centers, because that is your treasure trove of so much wisdom that can really help other people.
Yes. I can't remember who I don't know who was it that brought it to my attention looking at my chart. They're like, oh, this makes total sense that you would have a whole certification on customized hypnotic tracks where you're teaching people how to use their voice to like hypnotize and do like this is you're using that profit potential. I'm like, okay, good. So, Kehlani, tell me if you could go back and tell yourself a piece of advice, let's say you can pick between 5 or 10 years ago, what would you go back and tell yourself?
Yeah, probably go back 10 years. And I would tell myself what I always imagined telling myself at that time. I was really into quotes. I was always obsessed with writing quotes, putting them on my fridge. It was always very motivational stuff. And it would be to trust yourself, trust your journey, keep going, don't give up. You've got this. The dots are going to connect. And it's funny because those were all the things that I would read in these books and I would hear in podcasts and I would write down all these little notes of like, keep going, stay on the path, like be resilient. You're gonna figure it out. And I would tell myself the same thing. Like, trust yourself and try to take it lightly. Don't be so fucking hard on yourself because I tried being hard on myself for a very long time and that never worked. If it would have worked, it would have worked a long time ago. Being hard on myself never, 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 never worked. And it was through the process of relaxing and being able to be vulnerable and processing, all this like PTSD, all these things that happened. It was such a journey. It couldn't have happened overnight. So I think patience is a really big thing as well. So I tell myself to trust myself to be patient. Everything will happen in its right time. Because, for example, if you're dealing with trauma, you might have this feeling of, well, I got to get rid of this trauma. But if you're going to bring up stuff, it's going to be at the time when you're ready to process, to develop awareness around it, and to move through it and to release it. You cannot force it. And I wanted to be on top of the world and better and confident and all these things for so long. But it was through really letting go of the reins and relaxing into myself and trusting myself that everything that I wanted for so long happened. And it's through that patience of really witnessing my own unfolding and going like, okay, I can just be, and I can continue to be more and more and more me. And that's going to bring me everything that I've been searching for.
Oh, I.
I also have an open G center, so a big conditioning aspect for me. Because an open center is where there's no activations whatsoever. So there's no fixed theme of relating to that center. So if anyone has an open center in their chart, you don't have a fixed way. There's no activated gates. There's no way of relating to that. So with an open G center, no fixed way of relating to identity or direction. So what was I searching for so long? Who am I? What should I be? Where should I go? What should I do? Who's going to love me? I don't love myself. Can you love me? So I was always searching, searching, searching. And in that process of that desperation, kind of pushing away. And now with an open G, the wisdom is really like, I'm just here to be everything and to be myself, whatever that looks like day to day. And that brings everything to me. And I always receive love. I always receive direction. I always receive identity. And I get to be all these different things because it comes to me rather than me trying to go out and search for it. So really trusting that I don't need to figure out who I am and what I need to be, that was the biggest game changer in my life.
Wow. Like there's nothing for me to guide or say here. That is the most just beautiful, eloquent, like self-reflection. And I feel like this is such a good testament to where like the potential of design and your own experiment. Because what I love about this conversation today is that you have been educating us through showcasing your own process and your own journey, which is kind of incredible because if you think about it, like how many of us want to know ourselves in that way, to know our gifts, to know our conditioning, and to have this like beautiful level of awareness about like who we are, how it relates to our business, how it relates to our clients, how it relates to our relationships. And I feel like you've just showcased that like so beautifully. And you're in such a place, I can tell, that feels you're mastering it. You're doing it. Like Oh, it feels
I
so good.
appreciate that so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that recognition. And yeah, one thing I'll note for many entrepreneurs who might be listening to this, when it comes to the wisdom potential of the what's open in your chart, for a very long time with the Open G Center, I was living out the not self of searching for identity, direction, who am I going to be, all these things, right? And actually in my business, it's the wisdom of my Open G Center that's probably the thing that's brought everything to me. It's actually realizing that wisdom of everyone I meet with, I take in, sample their identity. So what do I always do? I help people discover who they really are, their identity, their branding, their purpose, it's everything. And it
Wow.
was only through the developing the awareness of what was going on there so that I could see the not self and then go, okay, I'm going to make a different choice. That's not my authority. And so it can really become your greatest gift and your biggest asset in business to know what is the not self that's blocking me. And once you develop that, it's like, oh my God, this is actually the thing that's brought me all the success I wanted and all these things and the ability to work with people and to take them in. So our charts are perfect. There's nothing missing. I really believe that you came in with a chart that's exactly how it is, with that exact hanging gate and that exact open center and that exact variable to do whatever you are meant to do in the world. You just need to go through the process of discovering what that is. And the discovery process looks different depending on your type, because, generators and gens are here to know themselves. We are looking inward, and every other type is looking outward. So it really depends on your type, what that process looks like. But I mean, it's perfect. It's everything. And so when I meet with people, that's what I'm looking at. Ooh, what did you come here with? What are you meant to do? Who are you meant to be? Let's talk about it. Have fun. And it's always giving the context for the experiences they've already been having their entire lives. You already know that about yourself. If you have an open G, you already know what it's like to search for identity and direction. Now you just have the language and the context for what has been happening this entire time. And that's why human design, I love so many different systems, but this is really the one that's clicked everything into place for me, because it's like getting this map of where I've been and understanding why I made all those stops, like the way that I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. I have no idea what my life is going to look like in the future, but I trust myself and my journey, and I know it'll be correct for me. And it's a lot of that is because of that mental clarity that I feel of knowing who I am and who I'm not. So everything that happens, I can just kind of experience.
How can people work with you? How can people find you? Give us all the details.
So I'm on TikTok, Instagram at Keilani Young, and my website is keilaniyoung.com. So there's more information and content there. The way that I'm working with people at the moment, I provide one-on-one deep dive sessions, is what I call them. I don't really do foundational analyst readings where we're just going to come in and here's all your placements. I really like to dive into where are you at right now? What are you experiencing? What do you want? What's going on? And we just really dive into their current experience and what they're wanting to experience more of in their lives, which is usually more satisfaction, more success, more peace, more surprise. So those one-on-one deep dive sessions are my favorite, because we're really able to just sit and get into all the uniqueness that they're here to offer the world, their creative message. And it's usually related to the centers that I have undefined. That's where I attract others, right? So it's always related to identity, purpose, branding, direction, their creative message, what they're here to express, sources of repression, and really finding the mental clarity of how to move forward without thinking that you need to act on every single idea that runs through your mind. And then in addition to that, I am at this time getting ready to launch Sacral Awakening, which is a course for generators and manifesting generators, whether they are brand new to design or they've been learning about it for the last year or two. This is really for people who want to know how to activate that sacral creative power. It's not getting into every single placement in your chart and every gate and every line. It's what does it mean to actually be a generator or manifesting generator? What does it mean to be the life force creative beings who are here to grow and build and give life to things in the world? It's the awakening of their sacral power. And I've been working on it for a couple months. You were helping me with it in OBS, and it was such a, it, everything happened so perfectly. You're able to really guide my energy as I developed it. And it's my favorite thing I've ever created. And I created it for like my past self. Really, like, what would I tell myself if I could go back 3 years to the beginning of my experience in Meriden? Like, what would I tell myself then? What would I tell my mom, who's a manifesting generator, my sister, who's a generator, like all these people who I love? What do I really want them to know? That's what's in this course. So I'm very excited about it.
That sounds incredible. And I feel like this is exactly what people need. It's like how to just get started with this. What do you need to know? And I know that the listeners have a special discount in working with you, an opportunity. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. So you can use the code Oracle10 on my website at the checkout. You can insert that discount code and it'll give you 10% off a one-on-one session or the Sacral Awakening course. And any future courses I create, I'm sure it'll be there as well. They just don't exist yet. We're going to see what those are.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love the show, give us 5 stars. Say hi by screenshotting and tagging me at @NatalieGrancia_. You can buy or apply to work with me at nataliegrancia.com. See you in the most abundant timeline. Peace.